Station 4. Well, here we are at Lytle Creek, the principal water body in Wilmington. The water passing beneath this bridge will go on to feed the Little Miami River via Todd's Fork, and then off to the Ohio River, and then to the Mississippi and eventually the Gulf of Mexico. Lytle Creek is but one step in a grand process known as the water cycle, which bears some similarity to our own body's circulatory system. This water is the lifeblood, if you will, of way more than fish. Macroinvertebrates, algae, reptiles, amphibians, insects, and mammals all live in complete dependence upon streams such as this one. We're going to try to be a bit fancy at this station and introduce you to a few hydrology terms that are sure to make you a hit at your next party. Moving water columns go by all sorts of names, such as a brook, a creek, a kill, that's an old Dutch word, a river, branch, or a run. But they don't all mean the same thing. A brook, for example, implies a rocky substrate, shallow and narrow enough to be easily crossed by foot. Creeks tend to represent the next larger class, although where that line of demarcation is can be blurry. Rivers, of course, tend to represent the largest end of the spectrum and are often associated with the ability to accommodate boats. Generally speaking, there are four ways water feeds a stream. The first, of course, is by rain, also known as direct input. The second is through what's called overland flow, what you and I know to be surface runoff. Another way for water to enter is when the rainwater seeps into the topsoil and then the water column. This goes by the name of shallow subsurface flow. And finally, water can enter a river straight from the groundwater. Nothing new so far? Okay. How about a tributary? That's a stream that joins another river. And that other river is known as the tributary's parent. In relation to the parent, the tributary is also referred to as the fork or the branch. Sooner or later, the streams will merge, and the point where they do is called the confluence. And that location of where a stream empties into a big body of water is the mouth. Here's a few more. When one part of a stream flows without interruption, it's called a run. And any section of a stream bed that's worn down more than the rest is known as a channel. If a section of a stream becomes particularly shallow, you would call that a riffle. And when it becomes particularly deep, you would call that a pool. Wading in a bit deeper now. The physical flow of a stream is usually thought of through three variables. The first is discharge, which is just another way of talking about the quantity or how much water is moving through the stream. The second idea has to do with velocity, the speed at which the water is moving. And the last has to do with its power, or its capacity to move other objects it comes in contact with. As an aside, over the years, aquatic life has adapted their body shapes to minimize resistance against this water's force, either through sleek design like a trout, or by learning to live on the very bottom of the stream, where there's enough cover to reduce the chance of being swept away. Now, if you really want to impress your friends, try these on for size. The land that butts up against the stream, the part that can be flooded, is known as the floodplain. But if you look at that place in terms of its living habitat, it's referred to as the riparian zone. The spot where a stream suddenly changes height and gradient is called a nick point, a waterfall, for example. But I'd be careful if I were you about mentioning nick points at your next party. People might think you're trying to impress them. Here's one you might not know. Ever heard of a distributary? That's a stream that branches off from the main channel. There are very few straight lines in nature, and streams are no exception. And like us, I suppose, streams are inclined to take the path of least resistance. The big serpentine arcs you see on a stream and river maps are known as meanders, and these bends are caused by erosion and deposition. These form due to a difference between the physical resistance on one side of the stream and the other. The velocity and discharge, there's those two words again, then begins to veer the water off-center, similar to how your bald tire will pull your car to one side. This causes erosion. The side opposite to the erosion is called the deposition. Meanders are very effective for slowing the current down enough to provide habitat for aquatic life, as anyone who likes to fish will tell you. Suffice it to say, creeks like this reflect not only the physical conditions of the local topography and geology, but also the weather and upstream terrestrial inputs.